We've looked at the ego as an accumulation of negative limiting beliefs. Let's take a look at this in a bit more detail. Imagine that each belief is a mini trauma from the past that was formed during a state of fear. The fear may have formed a feeling of helplessness, of not being worthy, of not being approved of, or an insecurity formed through a loss, or a feeling of just not being safe or being scared from a time when we were bullied or abused, maybe a time we just lost our parents in the supermarket, or possibly a time when we felt abandoned, rejected, or couldn't live up to someone's expectations. The possibilities are endless. The beliefs that form are based in a fear of lack, a lack of approval, of control, of security. At the time of this trauma, a state of fear would have presented itself. The flight or fight response, a basic physiological survival mechanism as a result of a threat. A threat that could be physical or emotional in form. And a belief is formed to protect us from future threats. In the event of a future threat, the belief will form a state of fear. An ego state similar to the initial event. A feeling of not being safe and not being worthy, just to name a few. These beliefs are limiting. They keep us stuck. But we don't only have negative beliefs, we also have positive beliefs. These beliefs are usually built from an accumulation of positive things that happen to us. Loving, supporting, encouraging parents. Standing up for ourselves against a bully, or protecting a friend or a younger sibling. Being treated with respect. Continuing achievement at school or in sport. Or just overcoming a perceived problem. These beliefs formed create a feeling of confidence, empowerment, worthiness, approval, security. These beliefs are unlimited, and they grow as we build on them. The beliefs create ego states. When we feel threatened, the threatened ego state will rise to the executive position to take control to protect us. It will take charge to become the dominant state. When this happens, we sometimes no longer have access to the more positive states. The negative ego states are anchored to the event, and similar events or situations will trigger the emotional fear response. This results in a phobia of sorts. The things that can trigger this response are many and varied, sometimes often just imagined. A fear of public speaking has its roots in the past, as does a phobia about snakes, flying or lifts. The triggered ego state creates an anxiety. The fear of the future that dominates the imagination with this perceived threat. Logically, the mind knows there isn't anything to fear. But the subconscious is not logical. And the ego state refuses to listen to the logical mind. It has taken control. In this state, other more positive states are ignored. And protection is paramount. The traumatized ego state is now running the show. The ego states are a function of the thought-feeling system, but many ego states can be established from a response to a traumatic physical threat. Take a look at my own feeling of claustrophobia when trying to snorkel for the first time as an example. My inability to take a breath with my head underwater may have well come from breathing in water in the bathtub as a child. This was overcome through desensitization through repeated practice with a snorkel. Just as a phobia of speaking in public can be overcome through desensitization through practice. Sometimes the environment can trigger a response. I had a friend at a holiday park, a place where I spent time through summer. A friend's daughter had been abused on the park at the age of 8. His daughter was now around 15 years old. He came to me concerned to ask my advice. His daughter had started crying on this day and the memory had come flooding back. She thought she was over it. He thought she was over it. But now it had returned. I asked if on the day it happened there was no clouds in the sky. The trees were without leaves. The trees were also dropping the white fluff, carpet in the grass like snow. A day still without wind, a clear blue sky, a mild day for that time of year. Much like this day, not hot, not cold. And he told me it was exactly like that. This young girl's traumatized ego state was triggered by the environment, a similar environment to the day of the trauma. Traumatic states can often require therapy to gain access to more positive states. And to allow the traumatized ego state to feel safe enough to allow these positive states to play their part. But often we can gain access to positive ego states through the use of anchors and triggers. It makes sense that if we can anchor and trigger a negative ego state, then we can anchor and trigger a positive ego state. The interesting thing is that athletes have been doing this for years, and many without even knowing about it. The footballer who continues to wear the lucky underpants he was wearing the day he won the championship 2 years earlier is doing so to trigger the anchor from that day in the past. The routine of pulling both socks up and throwing a piece of grass in the air to test the wind before taking a kick is another example of just triggering an ego state, a positive ego state. Often in our work, our negative ego states limit our ability to achieve all that we can. A fear of public speaking or cold calling on clients is a good example. A negative ego state created through being rejected in the past, of not feeling approved, of not feeling worthy, can create a barrier to achieving our full potential. And procrastination can be a result of this. We know what we need to do, but we're just afraid to do it. What if we get rejected? What if we're not approved of? What if we fail? We end up treading water, going nowhere, doing nothing. We need to step out of our comfort zone, and sometimes we need access to positive ego states to do this. And this is where anchors and triggers come in, to change our state. A sales company sent one of their sales reps to me for sales development. And during one session, we identified 4 possible new customers that could increase his sales and margins by around 20%. So he was given the task of setting up appointments with them. But when he returned 2 weeks later, he made every excuse as to why he hadn't had the time to make contact. The negative ego state, fear and rejection had created the procrastination. So I had him imagine a time when he felt really confident, not concerned with failure or rejection. And he thought about the time, as a junior football coach, when his team were in the final. They hadn't expected to get this far, and he told his team it wasn't about winning, but playing the game to the best of their abilities. Regardless of the result, he'd be proud of them for trying. They ended up winning the game. So I had him imagine giving this pep talk to his team and to get all the feelings associated with his event. I then had him clap his hands together, rub the palms of his hands vigorously together so he could feel the heat from the friction between the palms, while saying in his mind, "Okay, let's just do it." I told him to practice this over the next week, and any time he felt he was putting things off, to clap his hands, rub his palms together while saying, "Okay, let's just do it." The process of this action is to anchor a positive resource, a positive ego state, to a past positive experience, and then to trigger the ego state of the positive experience when needing to overcome a negative ego state. By the following appointment, he had made contact and had appointments with the new potential customers. He also found them quite accommodating and realised there'd been nothing to fear but the fear itself. This simple anchor and trigger technique can be very powerful. I used it in my practice with athletes to get them focused or fired up, or for public speaking to create a strong expectation of a positive result. For phobias such as flying to motivate, overcoming the fear. Overcoming situational anxiety such as pre-exam nerves or social anxiety. It is designed to trigger a positive expectation and overcome procrastination from a base of positive ego states. Change your state and you change your mind and the way you feel. And the way we feel is always a result of the dominant ego state at the time. Anchors and triggers may be varied and many. And sometimes we don't realize we are triggering negative ego states. Our state is often reflected in our posture. A person feeling depressed will sit with head bowed, shoulders slumped. Just changing posture by pulling the shoulders back, head up, putting a smile on your face can change the state and the way you feel. Most followers of sport have seen the posture of a team that have given in to defeat. They have dropped their heads, we might say. What they have actually done is to change their state to one resigned to defeat and failure. And this is reflected in their posture. But it's hard to feel bad when we're smiling. Let's cover the technique to trigger a positive ego state. First, we must access a positive experience from the past where we felt confident, motivated. Or we can create this from imagined future experience. For example, in public speaking, we can imagine giving the presentation being dynamic and giving it with confidence and passion. Creating all the feelings we would feel, heeding the applause and the kind words afterwards. Once the state of confidence, calmness, excitement, achievement, etc. is achieved, it needs to be anchored. I believe the best anchors comprise of two elements, an action and a feeling, such as clapping the hands together and rubbing the palms to generate heat. I've also used rubbing the thumb and forefinger together, but it can also be as simple as straightening the strings on a tennis racket between shots, or just bouncing a basketball 3 times to create concentration and a quiet confidence before shooting the ball. Imagine then the event with the associated feelings, the confident good feelings, and then anchor. The more it is practiced, the stronger the anchor to the feeling and to the positive ego state. I can't help but get excited and motivated to action by just rubbing my hands together. This trigger gets me excited. I use it prior to giving workshops and seminars, and it comes in useful when I need to get motivated to do account reconciliations or quarterly tax statements, one of my favourite chores. And our vocabulary also triggers ego states. I have long since dropped the words anger and frustrated from my vocabulary and placed them with perturbed and interesting. I have no ego state that can latch onto the word perturbed. In fact, the word makes me laugh to myself. I have never developed an ego state association with the word perturbed the way I've developed an ego state association with the word angry. If I say to myself I am angry, then an angry ego state pops up. If I say I'm frustrated, I feel frustrated, a frustrated ego state pops up. But if I say that's interesting, I become the observer of the situation and not the frustrated participant. Hate is another trigger ego state that is often used with such abandon from food to traffic jams, people or professions or even work. I hate being stuck in traffic, you might say, without realising just how bad it'll make you feel. It can't help but make you feel bad. And yet it isn't bad or good, it just is. Why feel bad about something you've got no control over? The negative words you use to describe your situation will trigger a negative ego state and the associated feelings. I often tell a client who presents with depression to remove the word depression from the vocabulary. It represents a long dark tunnel with no end in sight. I tell them to change that and say they are down so they can pick themselves up, or they are sad and then they can do something to make themselves happy. With anxiety, I might tell a person just to say that they're scared. And what are they scared of? And a lot of the time, they're just scared of being anxious. Our negative words are often anchors from the past that will trigger the negative ego states. Remove the negative words from your thoughts and conversation and you can't help but feel better. Use positive self-talk, especially when you're talking about yourself to yourself, or when you're talking about your life situation to yourself or others. And you'll find that you improve the way you feel. Let your posture reflect the way you want to feel, confident, relaxed, alert and happy. If you are happy, you'll reflect this in others. Let your words be positive, not negative. And learn to trigger positive ego states, then notice the difference in the way you feel. Thank you.